The Holy Gospel lesson for today is found in the 14th chapter of the book of John, beginning with the 25th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus teaches us, I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks and praise, for you come to us and claim us as your own. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to the hearing of your words. Grant me those words that I might speak, and each of us hear the ears that we may hear, the meditations you prepared for our lives. We ask these many things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as we begin a new adventure in the book of Ephesians for the next 4 weeks, what do you remember about the book of Ephesians? How about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? That's about the only lesson we ever use within the three-year pericope that we're so accustomed to. And it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the results of works, so no one can boast. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. Amen. Oh, I guess it's a little premature, right? So what do we do with this book of Ephesians? What do you do with your life? What do you have to do to be saved? We live in a culture where we hear, oh, when were you born again? When were you baptized? When did you accept Jesus as your Savior? When did you care, love, serve? Good works are the key to faithfulness. And yet, today's lesson kind of turns that all upside down. I'm going to reread the lesson for the first lesson for today. Listen to the words. And if you have a text before you, circle the ones that are most significant to you, and we'll see how we do. It's Ephesians 1, 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be a holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, and to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us, the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set before us in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, and having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were first to set our hope in Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. What'd you hear there? Now, Paul's not writing this letter to just some little podunk town. Ephesus was one of the largest cities of the known world back in his day. It was a major commerce, major religious, major center in the early world. And Paul's writing to the Christians who are just beginning a church there. He's now been in the ministry for 30 years, and he's reaching out to them, trying to help them to be unified and hold together in their current situations. We're just coming through COVID. Everything seems to have changed. We're still in the point where, do we touch? Do we hug? How long do we stay in each other's space? Social distancing, the threat of more virus coming down the pike, the tensions of even touching the water to baptize a child, communion in a form that we continue that's foreign to us and yet so uniting. As I read the lessons one more time, what were the words that stood out for you? To the saints who are in Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus, God, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He destined or marked, placed a mark on us as his, as for adoption, as his children. He bestowed on us in the beloved. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, and according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will. He has a plan for the fullness of time, and that's to gather up all things, things in heaven and things on earth. God's plan for us isn't just about humans. It's not just about we as a gender or as a race or as an ethnicity or as a culture or as a creation. But God's here for all things. When we say, let's take care of the world, that's one of the God-given gifts that he gives to us. When he says, love our neighbors, have mercy, do justice, isn't that God talking to us and reaching out to us, claiming us in the midst of it all? Because we are just one portion of his creation. And he created it all for us, that we might take care of it for the next generation, for the people around us. So often we get caught up in thinking that somehow or other it has to do with earning our salvation. So many in our world that claim to be Christians because of something they've done, when in reality, this lesson today teaches us that it has nothing to us about our doing. It has to do about our being God's people in a world. And I think it's so critical that we ask ourselves, well, then what are we supposed to be doing? What is it about this life that we live? Is it mean that maybe it's something so awesome and yet simple? The we as a lesson ends for today are to be God's own people to the praise of his glory. Is it possible that God's given us all these gifts? We're to be thankful always. As we heard in the series on Psalms that we just finished, in the midst of all the chaos of a world gone wrong, or in the midst of all the things that go right, the psalmists seem over and over again to the theme was give praise, be thankful, celebrate God's presence in your world. Might it be something that we as God's people are claiming that in the midst of all the things that are going on in our world and in our lives, that we are supposed to be those people in the world that are thankful to a God who loves us and claims us and sends us into the world that others might experience his peace? We know what it's like to be around people that never see the cup as half full or half empty. They're always in despair, never enough, always too sick, always too busy, always too much chaos. Life is so overwhelming. And that we know of other people that in the midst of the same tragedies and travesties are able to turn it around and be thankful and give joy and celebrate a God who's there with us even in the midst of our despair. What happens if we as God's people become people that acknowledge the blessings that he showered upon us foremost in our lives? It doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen. It doesn't mean that we aren't going to have the tables turned on us, that life's not going to be upside down. And he's big enough to love us even when we fall short of giving him the praise that's due him. But we are always comforted or challenged or nurtured by the words, give God praise and thanksgiving in all things, both the good and the bad. Because whenever things go wrong, even when things are upside down or out of control or overwhelming, we believe that God's present there with us. One of the things we lose sight of when our worlds are tipped upside down is what happened when Christ's world was tipped upside down. When things didn't go well with him, when he looked around and he said, everyone's leaving, do you folks want to leave too? Last Sunday's lesson. Peter's response was, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. God's challenge to us as his people isn't an easy task. And when I say be joyful and count your blessings and acknowledge God's grace in the midst of the storms in life, that is not an easy. That is not being flippant. That is not being something that is not without its own burdens. But it is something that changes the way we see events in our lives. It is the way that we experience God moving in our presence. And to be those that are thankful in the midst of all the events of life, all the cares and the woes and the sorrows, is something that would set the people around us. What's the matter with them? How can they be happy whenever things have turned? What is it when we hear people that have suffered enormous tragedy give thanks and acknowledge that there's a reason that's beyond their understanding, but it's also a reason that's within their grasp, that God's touched their world and made it work? We just heard that Keith and Pastor Sue are celebrating 40 years of marital bliss. No, maybe that's not what he meant. Maybe he meant that in the ups and downs and the challenges of life, they find how to love each other even more fervently, even more willingly, even more willing to make each other happy in the midst of the storms of life that we've all experienced. Isn't that what God does to us today? Whenever he says he's destined or marked us for adoption, he has a place for us. Even as we heard in the opening words, that we are marked, we are touched, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing, that he chooses us, that we're his, that he'll never abandon us. There's nothing we can do to earn his gift, which he freely gives to us. There's nothing we have to do or can do that will earn salvation, because it's already our gift. It's nothing that we can boast about, but in all things we should give him praise, because we are the children of a heavenly Father who says to us today, oh, go and tell somebody the good news. Go and help somebody. Go and fight for justice, even with your own sacrifice. Go do mercy. And what are some of the ways we could do that? We all know part of our history in Plum was Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Mount Oliver, or in Warrington Avenue. It was one of our congregations that the congregation had been there through all kinds of wars, battles, and struggles over the course of time. And the congregation was just worn out. They couldn't see the ministry to a community that had changed so dramatically from being what they knew as kids and church members. And so they passed the building on to another church. That's the church that Pastor Christine Rotella is now leading. Abiding Ministries is the name of it. And she saw the community as being a challenge, an opportunity, a possibility. And if you follow her on Facebook or any other communications, you see that people are being baptized. The word is being preached. Needs are being met. Social justice issues, race relationships, economic battles are all being met, which are the very same things that happened in our churches years ago. We're all in changing communities. We don't know what the future is going to bring. What happens if we give praise and thanksgiving for the opportunities God's placing and will place in our path to be the body of Christ for the world around us? Things are never going to be the same again. COVID or not COVID, floods or disasters, life and death. But the one thing that remains constant is God is reaching out to us, blessing us, blessing us, blessing us, blessing us, that we can be the body of Christ for the world. So as we take communion today, this is my blood, this is my body, go change the world. May we do that with thanksgiving because of a God who's claimed us today to be his people. For as we heard in the beginning, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. And I might add, but we might all give praise. God bless you all as we step into the new world. Amen.